I'm glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm glad your mercy has followed me. I'm glad you found me and set me free. I'm glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm glad I'm yours. isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Love you through and through. Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day?
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord?
Yes, it is good to serve the Lord. Good to live our life for Him every day. Every day. Brother Painter wanted me to give a report on the service at Sister Inez's sister's Sunday after church. And I was telling him it was kind of just a feel out. Brother Smith was just wanting to let just open it up to the Lord. It's like tonight. We're just open before Him, before God. And I appreciate that. We are like individually, we are, no matter what we think, we are really open anyway, you know, God knows all about us. We're an open book before the Lord. And so why not just begin to, you know, give him our life? You know, we're open before the Lord. I mean, you know, we're serving, talking about his mercy. That one chord tonight about his mercy. You know, God is a merciful God, you know. You know, I want to follow him because he's given us mercy. And he's a merciful God. He knows us, you know, no matter how, what kind of, what they call it, you know, putting, you know, we can put on if we want to, or we can make people think we are what we're not, or whatever, you know, we do. But God knows us. You know, we can't please God in the flesh. You know, if we begin to lean on our fleshly nature, we can't. That won't do much for God. You know, he won't, you can't please God that way. I'm just sorry. You know, that's just the way it is, that we have to begin to elevate our minds, begin to realize, you know, God, you're above all that we, you know, we our thoughts, even God, you know, we have to bring our thoughts into captivity where we can, you know, because, you know, God, think about our God that made heaven and earth, and then He's merciful to us, and he's mindful of us, that he allow us to even have a kind of a free reign. You know, we are free moral agents, that we can do whatever we want to do. And, you know, God don't strike us down for that. You know, he let us do that. But if we can begin to realize, you know, that if it wasn't for the Lord, you know, they was talking, you hear people every now and then talk about, you know, if you lived on a farm where you got animals, like they said, hog eat acorns that falls from the tree, but never look up to see where they come from. So we have to consider, you know, how do we get here? You know, what is this all about anyway, you know, our life? And that's when we began to consider God and just consider our maker. You know, I was reading, it was just, I believe it was in Isaiah, he was talking about Israel. Maybe it was talking about, it had another name for Jerusalem, but Ariel, something like that. But anyway, it was talking about them not realizing who their maker was, you know, not serving that maker, you know, think about it, you know. So anyway, Sunday we began to sing choruses, and I wish I remember every one of them. I remember the one that Brother Paul was wanting to sing right off the bat. Brother Smith was kind of asking about some songs. And, of course, he was one of the song leaders to begin to, you know, they do this. You know, that's what they do. So he wanted them to have some input in what courses we sang. And, of course, he did sing that song Brother Paul wanted at the end, didn't he? I don't remember all the courses, but there were several courses that was, of course, you know, our songs. Talked a lot about, you know, how we're to serve, like tonight, you know, serving God and talking about his mercy and all these things. I can't remember all the songs we had, but it was several courses that were sang that day during the service. And what I was thinking when Brother Painter was asking me about it was I feel like it was overwhelming, maybe somewhat, to Sister Inez, you know, that many people. I didn't get to camp, but I heard Sister Holly say it was 35 people there. Is that right? But they're about 45. Is that many? But it was a tremendous crowd, I think, for, you know, a house service like that. And I thought, you know, that not only, you know, Sister Watson, you know, I could tell she wasn't maybe feeling her best, but she was so overwhelmed with the love that was shown, until, you know, she you know, that outweighed maybe her feelings altogether physically. But that's where I looked at it, and then again I thought this probably would make quite an impression on her sister, Vanessa. So and when you look at things like that, when you're out, when you're giving out to people, it you know, that's how we get blessed. I don't know if, you know, I know you realize that. You know, you don't necessarily, you know, you can receive blessing. We're supposed to know how to do that. But we get blessed by giving out, you know, to other people, by blessing others. That's really, that's how God blesses people. You know, he blessed them by them giving. You know, we're to be like channels or vessels that just, you know, if we receive something, you give to somebody else. And really, just out in the natural, I work, you know, with the phone company. We had people that after they retire, I didn't do this, but anyway, we had people that they call them pioneers. I was a pioneer, but I didn't do a lot of things that they was doing. But of course, they'd go to other countries and serve. And this guy, one of the guys that went to one of the Central American countries. I can't remember which one it was, but anyway, he was telling me that them going down there to a place where these people didn't even have phone service, you know, and they was able to put in, install the phone system for them, and he was telling me that it was so much, that was so much gratitude that they, received just from helping somebody that could not help themselves, and he was telling me about that, and I know that that's the way God worked, you know, with his people, you know, when you try to help somebody and not expecting to receive anything, you know, just out of your heart, you're trying to help, and that's the way we're supposed to do this. I know this is, you know, God's work is work from the heart. It's things are done from the heart. You know, you're doing things that you're not expecting any return. You know, that's really the way we're supposed to serve God. We're not to expect anything. You know, you're giving. And like Brother Payne quoted the scripture some time ago, you know, when it's in your power, you know, sometimes you may not can help anybody, but if it's in your power to help somebody, give to somebody, and then you don't do it, and that's when it's, you know, that's a problem on me. If it's in my power, you know, I got whatever these people need, but I refuse to help them, you know, but that, Lord, help me. So, I mean, so that's a blessing. That's what I felt from Sunday's service. I felt like it was like we able to get love over to not only, I said, to Sister Inez, but to her sister. Her sister there in the home. I feel like it made quite an impression. If anybody remember all the courses we sang, you can tell me. I don't remember. Sister, you remember? I feel like... Yeah, that's the one, his first song. But anyway, we did sing that song. Pardon me? Yes. That's the problem with me. I can't remember all the first song, but it was a blessing. Sister Holly gave her testimony and to help, you know, Sister Watson, and that was good. So that's the thing is, we know we're limited, you know, as individual human beings, you're limited on what you can do, but it's still powerful when you can express love. If you can express love to someone, it's powerful. I mean, it really. You know, you may not be able to change the circumstances, but it still can be effective, and that's what I'm seeing is God's allowing us to be effective, and we all praying for Sister Inez, and sometimes I wish, I kind of just feel like, you know, I'm not doing enough. You know, what can I do? But I definitely want to continue, you know, having a heart, like Brother Smith was saying about not giving up and keep knocking on the door. Like this one parable about this judge. What was he? I forget what they call a judge. He was not one of them, you know, he was a, anyway, they couldn't. He was one of those hard person to deal with. But anyway, this lady, you know, they talked about the word importunity, and you know, so the unjust judge—that's the word that they use. So anyway, but she kept knocking, and I think Jesus may have used that parable, and so there's something to that, you know. Sometimes you might want to not want to give up. You know, you think, well, God, I don't want to bother you with this, but you know, sometimes God want to see our heart. He want to see that we're persistent. We don't want to give up. You know, everybody want to be in God's will, and that's the thing too. So there's a balance somewhere in between having the mindset of having, you know, being in God's will, and having persistence to take advantage of the opportunity that we have to work for God and to have that kind of spirit. You want to keep pressing in, because this is a pressing way. We have to press even beyond our natural feelings. The Adamic nature, you know, it's a pressing way, the scripture said. You know, we have to be able to, somehow you have to get, you know, I mean, you, I don't know, can you go too far with things, but this is a pressing way. You have to press beyond your, even sometimes your thoughts. You know, you have to get to a point. I've come into service and I really didn't have the best thoughts. You know, I mean, that wasn't just the way it was. I told this one time, I was going to school in Dallas. Went down there many times. I don't even remember how many times we'd go down there for. The longest time was like 5 weeks at a time, and some of them were just a week, some 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. But I remember one time I'd been to church when I'm in out of town like that going to school, I go. It's like home to me in Dallas, because I'd go to church there. So, you know, when I'm there, I'm in church. And my boss one time, we used to drive our own personal vehicles, and they changed the policy, and we had to drive a company car, and I was driving a company car, and I told him, I said, Paul, now when I go to Dallas, I go to church, and I'm having to drive this company car. Can I drive to church? He said, he said, don't go anywhere, your mama won't go, okay? So that was good enough for me, you know, because I'm going to church. So anyway, this particular Tuesday night was always Tuesday night, because I always come home on Friday. But this, somehow, I don't know how I got into this attitude, but it was like, you know, it was just church, you know, no big deal. You know, we have church, we have talk, and usually if you're a visitor like I was, you're going to have to say something, you know, they expect you to say something. But anyway, this particular night, I was kind of a ho-hum attitude. I was just, you know, Wednesday, Tuesday night, got to go to church, and had to drive quite a ways to get there. But anyway, I was in that attitude. I didn't mean to get that way, but I was there. And we got in the church, and this has never happened. I've been down, like I said, lots of times. I don't even know how many times, you know, 20, 30, 40 times in church. But this particular Tuesday night, we had some visitors. I think we had a brother Wheelock from California there and several people. But anyway, I just remember, I don't know how it happened. I don't remember the messages that was said, spoke, song that was sang or whatever. But somehow the God moved in that service that night, and we just got drunk. I mean, this never happened the whole time I've been going down there. But the Spirit moved in, and we all, the brethren on the platform, got just soused. I mean, just drunk in the Spirit. I mean, on a Tuesday night in Dallas. Never happened like that before. But I don't know why, I just thought, you know, coming in there like I was, coming in with, you know, like I say, I didn't mean to do that, but I was just somehow just, you know, in a ho-hum. I call it a ho-hum attitude, you know, just being in church, another Tuesday night in church, you know. But God bless us that night. I mean, it was a wonderful, oh God, it was a wonderful touch from the Lord. So I tried to make some adjustments, and when I go to church, I think, you know, this is God's house. You know, we're in God's house. You know, that's where I look at it, you know. So anything can happen, you know. All we have to do is just consider God and reach out to Him. And that's where I try to do. I may not always do that every time, but when I come to church, I want to consider, God, this is your house. You know, we're servants in your kingdom, Lord. And we want to lift you up. We want to work. However you want us to work, we want to work with you, Lord. We want to work. So anyway, I don't know if I give a good enough report, Brother Painter, on that service, but it was a wonderful service, and I feel like Sister Watson actually, you know, like I said, she felt the love. I could tell, you know, she was putting all that she could to, you know, keep from having. She's had to lay down the whole time. we was there, but I could tell, you know, she was boo-hoo and she was crying a lot, and it was just it was a touching service. I mean, under the circumstances, you know, I mean, it wasn't sad at all. It was just one of those kind of services where, you know, we're reaching out. We're reaching out. And I like that. I like to feel, and with this youth meeting coming up, I think, you know, and our young people have been mentioned several times, that different ones, about, you know, helping our young people, encouraging them, you know, to keep serving God, to keep that video Brother Smith is want to show. I mean, it's I get inspired because I know that it's gonna take, you know, I can tell, you know, when you have some age happen to you, you know, when you get a little older, you can, you know, it affects you. I'm telling you, it affects you. So I appreciate our young people. We need to keep them encouraged because the future, you know, our church depends on them. You know, what do we need to do if we need to just let them know we're there for them? You know, let them know that, you know, we know, you know, what you're going through. We were there too. You know, I mean, I didn't grow up in this group of people, but I was young, you know, at one time, and you know, not sure, being indecisive what to do in life. You know, yeah, but I remember getting out of high school. It was such a blessing to me to get out of 10 kids in our family. I was the first one to graduate from high school, so it kind of helped me a lot. They called it what you call when you're swimming, you're diving. It's like a boost for me. It uplifted me so much just to be able to realize, you know, because there were so many people that was not dropping out of school, going to get a job in a place where there were jobs. Because where I was at, it was not many jobs. But anyway, it was such a boost for me. You know, I was thinking back, and I remember being undecisive about things. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I know that's just normal at a young age. You know, you're not just not sure what you want to do. You know what? So anyway, if we can help, you know, be encouragement, you know, to be able to say, you know, whatever you do, leave God. You know, let God be a part of it. You know, make sure God is in your life. That's the most important. No matter what you do, you know, make sure you include God in your life. So anyway, I'm done. but we're gonna pray. Let's pray tonight. You know, we have, you know, outstanding needs, Sister Inez. Keep my wife talked to her today. I think she had a pretty good day, I think, didn't she? So anyway, but let's keep pressing. Let's keep knocking. Let's keep knocking on God's door, you know. Sister Linda. Elizabeth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So remember that, Sister Linda. Excuse me. Anybody else? Brother Al. Flesh unspoken. All right. Remember that, Sister Abraham. All right. Okay. All right. Brother Boyd. Ethan. All right. Remember Ethan tonight. Pray for him. Brother and Sister Crow, let's not. Phil. Brother Crow? Okay. Sunday morning. All right, let's remember them. Pray for them. Brother Smith is in Canada. remember him, the meeting. Yes. Such a burden he has for the works and different situations. Usually, to me, it's like, when he get there, you got a plate full, you know. Sometimes, you can come in places and you don't really know what's going to happen, but he kind of pretty much know what's going on. So he has a plate full, either wherever he goes. So let's remember him, pray for him. Anybody else? Sister Ann. Paul. All right. All right. All right. So if it's on your heart, Sister Painter. Your mom, all right. Brother York, yes. He's still under the weather. Remember Brother York, pray for him. All right. Brother Laird, I think we're Brother Laird. And all right, anybody else? Brother Weiniger, remember him, pray for him. Unspoken. All right, remember that. Okay. All right. If not anything else, let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. Ask that God will help his people. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for even having this opportunity, Lord, to come before you. Lift our voices, oh God, to you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this thing. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Bless your people. Lord, help us to continue. Reach out to you, Lord, for these different needs, Lord. Remember, Sister Watson, Lord, help her. Oh, yes. Blessed
be your name. Oh, God, how we need you, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on you,
blessed be your name. Praise God, praise God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He's never been more precious than he is right now. I never loved him better than I do right now. I'm rejoicing every day since I found this better way. He's never been more precious than he is right now. He's never been more precious than he is right now. Rejoicing every day since I found this better way. He's never been more precious than he is right now. He's never been more precious than he is. precious than he is right now. I've never loved him better than I do right now. I'm rejoicing every day since I found this better way. He's never been more precious than he is right now. He's never been more precious than he is right now. I've never loved him better than I do right now. I'm rejoicing every day since I found this better way. He's never been more precious than he is right now. He's never been more precious than he is right now. I've never loved him better than I do right now. I'm rejoicing every day since I found this better way. He's never been more precious than he is right now. Precious than he is right now. I've never loved him better than I do right now. I'm rejoicing every day since I found this better way. He's never been more precious than he is right now.
Cry. The rocks wouldn't have to cry out. I thought when Brother Payton was asking and Brother Tyler was talking and the songs was going forth, you know, I thought, Lord Jesus, allow me. It might not be much, but allow me, Lord Jesus, to be used, you know, so the rocks won't have to cry out. You know that I'll cry out that I love you, Lord, witnessing or being an example of just the way we walk or act that might draw some soul into Christ, might let them see that there's a difference in our lives, the way we walk or the way we talk or the way we present ourselves, that they might know that there is a difference in our lives. You know, I run into people all the time, you know, and they don't ask me where I go to church, but they'll tell, like, the person, for instance, the Walgreens managers, so they're all over the place. And this one that comes over from Mississippi over to the store on Bowman, there's like this competition thing of who's number one, and he always points to me. He said, "Now you don't have her. She's not in your store, is she?" Now I wonder in my store. I said, "I'm not in any store. I'm just here substituting. I'm not in his store. I'm not in your store." But you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that there's something in my life that's a representative. They might not know it's Christ that gives us the way we present ourselves. They might not know that, but they know that there is a difference. It's not like everyone else. And I thank the Lord for that. Lord, let me cry out so the rocks don't have to cry out. Let me be one that will stand up for you and lift my voice and give you the praise. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm thankful to be here today. Excited coming in here. Like a lot of people say, I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go into the house of the Lord." I wanted to brag about God because this past week, I went to take my driver's test, and it was my fourth time taking it because I wasn't studying for it right and everything, and I went to take it this time, and usually when I go up to it, I get real nervous, and I go real fast and try and get through the questions because I'm nervous, and this time when I took it, I stopped, and I went, wait a second, ask God first to help you pass this, and I did, and I passed it on the 21st question. There's 25 questions, passed it on the 21st. Then I've been looking for a job, and I applied at Little Caesars, and Kroger, and they didn't call me back. And then I applied at Larry's Pizza, but which I could have worked there, but they only wanted me for Sundays and Wednesdays, so I couldn't do that. So I tried to talk to the manager there, and she said she could have done Tuesdays, and then she tried to talk me into getting into Sundays and Wednesdays and tell me that the big man upstairs would forgive you and everything, you know, trying to tell me that. I said, no. So I left that, and that was a closed door. And so I applied at Sonic after that, and just 1 or 2 days, I can't remember, 1 or 2 days after I got my driver's permit, Sonic called me up wanting an interview with me. And right after the interview, next day I got hired. So I wanted to brag about God and say I'm thankful, and I'm thankful to be here today.
Just want to say that testimony you gave, Joseph, was real inspiring to me. It was good to hear, you know, all that God did to you in one day. Did you say, was that all in the same day? That 2 days. 2 days. Got your driver's permit and got a job all in that time. I know that can almost seem overwhelming, but overwhelming in a good way. And it's I remember... when I got my first job and how excited I was about it. But something that stood out to me about what he was saying was how he first applied at Larry's Pizza, and they wanted him to work those days. They wanted him to work Wednesday nights, and they wanted him to work Sunday nights. And you know how easy it would be for somebody to go ahead and compromise that and say that that I'll go ahead and compromise that time, and then they would have missed out on the next opportunity to be able to have that time off. And because he waited on the Lord and didn't jump God's time and wait on him, because he was willing to wait on him and see what he was going to do, he was able to get himself a job and have the time off that he wanted to be in church and be able to help build the church and be a part of his work. And that is inspiring. It really is. And you know, I was just thinking while I was sitting up there, you know, if we can get that mindset on things like my driver's permit or my first job, you know, if we can get that now, think how much greater God blesses us on a greater level later on when we take an even stronger stand, and the blessings and the benefits that come after, rather than compromising when it seems convenient to do so. And I just wanted to say that was very inspiring to me, Joseph. I'm glad to see, you know, I'm glad to see that we have a group of young people that are here being dedicated, because out there in the world, you know, young people aren't like that. There isn't a whole lot of dedication. There isn't a whole lot of discipline in putting God first and in their lives and saying, above everything else in my life, Lord, you come first and your work comes first. You don't find that. You find people that say, well, I'm sure the big man upstairs will understand. Well, I'm sure, well, and then you find people that say, I'm sure the big man will understand that you work every Wednesday night and every Sunday. And there are people that will say, God, the big man understands if you smoke cigarettes. The big man understands if you don't go to church at all, if you just sit and read your Bible at home. The big man understands if you dress like the world. The big man understands if you act like the world. But and he understands, you know, if you don't want to live those standards, if he understands because he died for you and that's all there is to it. But I'm thankful that we have a group of young people that have an understanding that it goes beyond that. That it goes beyond that, that we have to get that into our hearts. We need to get that. It can't just be something that we think of that if it's convenient, I'll go to church. If it's convenient, I'll take the time off to go to church. That it is a necessity. That it is our life. Everything else comes after that. Everything else comes after our walk with God. Because if you put God first, things work out. Things do tend to work out when you put God first. Brother Durham, I've heard your talk over and over about, you know, your testimony about paying your tithes, you know, and about how when you were slacking on your times on your tithes, things started getting a little bit rougher. But no matter how hard it was to do so, if you paid your tithes and put God first, somehow it always worked out. And it's funny how that works. It's not even explainable how it works. It just happens. Isn't it funny how it just happens with God? He works everything out. And you know how funny it is when God has worked all these things out for me and given me a wonderful wife, given me a wonderful church, a wonderful family of God, a wonderful job, and then I still get discouraged about petty things, about one little thing that somebody thinks about me, one issue when I'm part of something so much bigger. You know, God has worked everything out for me all up until this point now. Why do I have any reason to believe otherwise? Why do I have any reason to believe otherwise? And I look around this assembly and I see people with a fire for God. I see people with a hunger for the Spirit, a hunger for righteousness. And it's a blessing. It really is. In the world, you don't have people that make the sacrifice to be here on a Wednesday night and serve God no matter how hard it is to get up for work the next morning. But we have that here, and that is a blessing. And this church, the body of Christ, the church in general, even all the way back to biblical times, has gone through a lot of difficulties in the past. It's gone through a lot of fire, a lot of heartache, but even from the beginning of time, God has always had a people. God has always had somebody that would stand up for him. Even when it was just Noah, there was still one person that stood up for him. Even when it was just a few people in this assembly, there were still people that stood up for God. And you know, there was a time, I'm just going to say it, we lost a lot of people in this assembly after Brother Liniger died. For whatever reason, you know, I don't pretend to know what other people should or shouldn't do, but it's just a fact. This assembly lost a lot of people. And you know, the few people that were left could have very easily said, well, this is done. I'm over. And could have left the body, gotten wrapped up in a lot of things, and God would not have an assembly here in Little Rock. But I thank God that Noah stood up for him, that Noah took a stand. Noah was righteous. His family was righteous. And I thank God that we had righteous people here. And no matter how hard it gets in my life, in my personal life, no matter, the natural things don't matter because God is first in my life. That is my goal. And I have a vision that I'm striving for. And I have a family that's striving for that vision with me. So why should I worry about anything else? Even if things look rough, there are still people striving. And look what we have now. Look what we have now. Look, every assembly goes through trials. I can look throughout the whole body of Christ and see trials in assemblies. But because there were people that stood strong, because there were people that stood up for righteousness and kept on serving God when it was hard, kept on serving God through the fire, that He still has a people. He still has a work here. And He still has people on fire for God. And that is a blessing. That's a blessing. That's not something to take for granted here. I look at every last person here and I am thankful. I am thankful to God that you're here. Sometimes we have no idea the effect that we have on people when we're not here. There are people in this assembly that look up to you. Everyone here is an individual. This assembly looks up to you. And that's something to be thankful for. I'm thankful that y'all love me. I'm thankful that y'all love me. You know, I can't tell you, you know, how what it means to me whenever I'm sick and I can't make it for service and somebody sends me a text message, "Hey, where were you today? I missed you." And I tell them, "Hey, I was sick, but thanks for asking about me." That means a lot. That means a lot that there are people who care. That God has a people who care. And I believe that is the way God cares, is through His people. Because everywhere in the Bible, everywhere you look in the Bible, the number one way that God works is through people. I'm not saying every now and then He didn't do something booming and elaborate. You know, I'm going to destroy this city with fire and brimstone. I'm not saying that didn't happen. But the number one way was small, subtle ways through people. Somebody came representing Him. Moses represented the Lord, saying, "Let my people go." God used David to kill the giant. And I think He's doing the same today that He was back then. I think He's still using His people in small ways. I talk about it all the time, but I look back and one of the best memories I ever have as far as a meeting goes in church and the body of Christ is when I was going through a trial one time, and a lot of people knew it because I was pretty showy about it. I had an attitude. I didn't always really, you know, dress in a respectful manner for the environment. And a lot of people knew I was going through a problem. And people could have easily said, "Well, I don't want anything to do with him. If he's going to get an attitude like that, psh, forget that. You know, I'm going to go over here and praise Jesus. If he's going to act like that, praise the Lord. Hallelujah." You know, people could easily do that, but how Christian is that? Seriously. But someone came up to me in the middle of in a meeting. It was a campground meeting, and I had gone out to eat with some friends afterwards. We had off of the grounds, and we got back. It was past the curfew. They want everybody back in their rooms at the campground by a certain time for obvious reasons. And I got there, and I didn't see anybody out there. It was past curfew. I thought, well, I'll just park my car over here. I'll go up to my dorm. If anybody sees me, an usher sees me, asks me what's going on, I'll just tell them, "Hey, I'm sorry. Stayed out too late with some friends eating. I'm going to go up to my room." But as I was on the way back to my dorm room, I heard a sound. And I couldn't really, it sounded strange, almost like a bunch of voices. Like a bunch of voices all together. And I couldn't understand where it was coming from, what was going on. I just looked around and I walked out to that area. For those of you who know that have been there, that, you know, the walk area between the dining room and the church, there's a big open area. A lot of people, that's almost you could call that the hub of the area. That's where everybody goes to socialize and talk and see each other. I went out there and it was past curfew, and there were hundreds of people laying out on the ground speaking in tongues. And this did not overflow from the service. This had happened after. Something happened afterwards. After service, everybody had gone to eat. Apparently, what had happened is a lot of the youth got together and just were talking, having a good time. They started singing a song together, started singing another song, suddenly they felt the Spirit come over them, and they got a touch. Other people got in on it, got a touch, and the next thing you know, you have almost a whole other service, a whole move of the Spirit going on out there. It went after midnight. And I stood there, and I felt such condemnation. I could not believe myself almost. My eyes had been opened to what a bad attitude I had and how I was acting and how I could not, I didn't even feel worthy to be there. And I was about to turn around and walk away, and then there was a young man at the time. Some of y'all here may know him. His name, he's from one of the churches in Texas. His name is Paul Manrique. And he came up to me, grabbed me on the shoulder. He said, "Hey, man." I said, "Hi." He said, "It's pretty cool, isn't it? What's going on?" I said, "Yeah, it's really neat." And he stood there and he said, "You want us to pray for you?" I said, I think I'm just fine right here." And he said, "All right." And there was a long pause, and he put his hand on my shoulder, gave me a big hug, and said, "You know we love you, don't you, brother?" I almost couldn't hold back my tears. I said, "Yeah, I know. Thank you. I love you too." And then something happened. He started praying with me. I raised my hands, and a bunch of other young people came around me, gathered around me, started praying for me, and I had never felt more loved in my life. Not just because the body of Christ loved me, but because I knew that was a way of God showing me that He loved me. Regardless of anything I'd been doing and the ways I was acting, the attitude I had, the way I was presenting myself, that God still loved me. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't the body of Christ a blessing? There are so many other places we can be, and we are here right in the middle of God's love, right at the source of His work on this world, right on the rock where He's building His church. I know there's so much more to come later. You know, this is just the beginning, but I'm sure glad to be a part of it. Aren't you? Aren't you glad to be a part of this? Aren't you thankful to be a part of this? I am overwhelmed to be a part of this. When I look back and I think of where I could be and where I am today, I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed, and I thank each and every one of you for loving me. And it's my intention to love each and every one of you in return in the same way. Because that's God's love. That's God's love. Jesus loved people unconditionally. I could get so worried about what somebody thinks of me, somebody says about me. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. They don't know what they're doing." Why can't I say the same thing? If I have a quarrel with somebody and I feel like they're in the wrong, first of all, I want to examine myself. First of all, I'll just put that out there. First of all, I want to examine myself and see if there's anything I'm doing wrong. But in the end, if somebody is wronging me, Lord, forgive them. They don't know. If I'm at work, if I'm on my job and somebody's treating me wrong, Lord, forgive them. They don't know. They don't know you, Lord. I should be sad for them. I should have a desire for somebody to know God. If some worldly person comes up to me and treats me wrong, I shouldn't feel that impulse to retaliate. I mean, I'm not perfect. I may feel the impulse to retaliate, but I want that to dissolve. I want to say, Lord, how can I touch that person's life in a positive way? Can I show them your love? Can I show them your unconditional love? I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm sorry, but I did want to say that I'm inspired tonight. Thank you, Joseph. That did something for me tonight. It really did, because I'm thankful that we have people that are taking a stand, even in little things. You know, if we can take a stand in little things, maybe we can take a stand in big things. Maybe we can take a stand against what's going on in the world right now. Against these movements, against these laws that are being passed. Maybe we can still take a stand for righteousness and not compromise our morals, because we know the truth. And we got to love people. We really do. We got to love people with all our hearts. And I'll tell you something that breaks my heart. And I don't want to get too far into the subject, but it breaks my heart when I'm on Facebook and I see people talking, debating the topic of homosexuality. And there are people who call themselves Christians who are taking a stand, but how should I say it? Not in a dignified manner. Not representing Christ like we should. And it's things like that that make the world look at us and think we're hateful. And when you come along and you take a stand for righteousness and you stand up for what's right, that people are that you're just dead to people, because there are others in the world that call themselves Christians and don't know how to love. And I don't want anybody to think I'm standing here saying we got to compromise, because we don't. But we cannot come across like we don't know what we're talking about. We have to have a knowledge of the Word of God. There are not many people out there who, I think most Christians that take a stand against that sin can tell you that it's a sin, but they can't tell you why it's a sin. They can't explain why God wants, they can't explain that picture of God and the relationship he wants with his church. The image, the picture of a man and a woman as a picture of God, of Christ's relationship with his church. That's why we need to understand these things, don't we? We got to take a stand for righteousness, but we got to understand why. And that's why we need the meat here. That's why we got to listen to Brother Smith when he's up talking about these things. Because we have to have wisdom. We have to have understanding. We need an understanding of the Word of God. I mean, we can have knowledge. We can have all the fire and passion in the Word, in the world, I mean. We can have all that and want to do what's right, but we got to know what is right, and we got to know why it's right. God's got listen, young people, these standards that we put in place, standards like dressing in a modest manner, standards like not hanging out in certain environments, not acting in a careless way. There's a reason those standards are in place. There are reasons they're in place. Some of the standards are common sense, but some of them are biblical. But God doesn't put those standards in the Bible. He doesn't put those commandments in the Bible for no reason, just because he can, just because he's God. There's a reason for them. There's a reason that we need to live a righteous life. There's a reason we need to present a righteous standard. There's a reason that standard needs to be upheld. And we got to be part, and you got to listen. You got to listen to understand. You can have all the Holy Spirit. You can have all the moves of the Holy Spirit out here, but you need the meat to back it up. The Holy Ghost is what helps us put legs on that understanding. But if you don't have the understanding, it may help you, it may talk to you, but you need that understanding behind it. That go hand in hand. The Holy Ghost and the meat, the Word of God, they go hand in hand. And one standard, you know, that I used to remember a long time ago, one thing we did, a lot of people did in church, more people took a lot of notes when they were listening. More people took notes in church. They listened to what the ministry was saying, and they had such a hunger for it that they wrote it down. They wrote it down so they could go back over it. They could go back over it and read it, study it more when they get home. Even if you didn't go back home and study it, at least it helped you focus. Helped you listen. I'm that way. I can hardly focus in that setting without actively doing something to put without actively pursuing it. You know, I can't just sit here and really get something out of it. I got to actively pursue it, whether it's taking notes or whether it's just, you know, listening intently, really trying to do that. We don't get the meat just sitting here. We don't get the meat just because we come to church. I want to hunger for the truth, don't you? I want to have that hunger in my life. What's going on in the world right now just shows how badly we need that hunger. We need that hunger. We need an understanding of righteousness. We need an understanding of it because the world is blatantly spitting in the face of righteousness. And we need to support it. We need to stand up for it. And I need to stand up for it in my life because if I don't, maybe I'll lose the righteousness. Maybe I'll lose it. Have you ever seen somebody who used to be doing so good, but then a slow fade? They slowly started pulling away, drifting away, not listening in church anymore, not taking part in the worship. And then suddenly you talk to them, and they act like they've never heard any of the words spoken, almost as if that vision is just gone, and they have no understanding of it. It's almost scary how that happens. I think, Lord, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to me. That could happen to me, and then I could go out there and everything the world's doing would seem just fine. It wouldn't faze me anymore. Lord God, I want to hunger. I want to continue hungering. I want to continue hungering. Kind of like, you know, you ever notice when you stop eating, you eat a little bit less and a little bit less now and then, and suddenly your body doesn't crave as much food as it used to because your body's not used to having that food. And I don't want that to happen to me. I want to gorge myself on the truth. Don't you? I want to gorge myself on the truth. I want to be fat with the truth. I want that. So I praise God that we are striving for that. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful that we're striving for the truth. Let's get a hunger. Let's feed that hunger. Feed that hunger. Listen to the ministry when they talk. And get in on this on the worship when the Spirit's falling. Because you got to wash it down with something. And it's that water. That sweet Spirit. That sweet Spirit. When you've had a bad day, when you've had a bad week, and suddenly you feel that, you get in on the worship, you dance a little bit, you praise God, He comes over your tongue. You start speaking in another language, and suddenly you're encouraged. You're encouraged. You're reminded of how real this is. You're reminded of how wonderful this is. Praise God. Isn't this a wonderful walk? Isn't this a wonderful way? I proclaim this is a wonderful way. Praise God. I give God glory. I give God glory that He has shown us this way. He didn't have to show me this way. I could be anywhere, but thank God I'm here. I'm here working to build a church. We have a big project here. We got a big thing to be a part of. Don't feel like you're not part of something. Because we need all the help we can get. Go out there, witness. Let's witness. Let's talk to people. Say, we got a big project we're working on, and we're a little bit short-handed. You want to come in here and help us build a church? No, we've got the building. We just need the people. We need the Spirit. We need the truth. We're striving for that. God's got to work. Let's build the work. Let's build this church.
I'm not going to be long. It is important to be heard. We've got Sister Ann Thompson wants to have a meeting after dinner day Sunday with all the kitchen and dining room staff. All of them. All the youth, specifically the youth. Or all that. Okay. Okay. So all the kitchen and dining room staff need to meet with Sister Ann and Sister Cindy after dinner Sunday. And then also there's an event for Does she know? Sister Weiner? Okay. All right. Cut my mic off. What a wonderful thing it is to be in this setting that we have in the house of God. I thought, Brother Tally, I really appreciated you telling us about, Sunday. I wasn't there, but I kind of felt like I was there. And it helped me appreciate the fact that we're a loving family. And you know, Brother Joseph, we're rejoicing with you. You know, it excites us to see you take a stand for the Lord and to see the Lord reward you for taking that stand. And many of us have taken a similar stand in our lives, and we know that God, God is mindful. He knows where we're at. I was, as you would expect, Brother Smith asked me to take responsibility for the service tonight, and I've had a lot of different thoughts, which I won't expound on too many of them. I know I'm acquainted with the hour. But I did want to read a few scriptures in Matthew 6. I just want to nail some points here that have been made. I want to reiterate them and illustrate one in particular. The Matthew 6:22, it said that the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And I was reading recently about Josiah and how, and I won't go off into all that, but how Josiah, his grandfather was a wicked king for 55 years. He was full of wickedness, and he was, his dad was only king for like 3 months, and when Josiah became king, he was only 8 years old, and so he was like thrown into it. And when they found the book of the law and read it, and he was given a promise that he wouldn't see all the destruction. But as I was reading that, I thought, he tore all those groves down. He tore all the temples of Baal down. He wreaked havoc in their communities. I mean, he brought all kinds of destruction. And I thought, God gave him a promise that he wouldn't see it. But yet it happened right before his eyes. But to him, it wasn't destruction. To him, it was rebuilding God's kingdom. And I thought about this scripture right here. If thine eye be single, Brother Caleb, if our focus is on building the kingdom of God, then the wickedness and the things that happen, the sorrow and the experiences that the world goes through, they won't have as a negative effect upon us because our focus is on the kingdom of God. If our eye be single, if our eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But he went on to say, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And of course, that's the world we live in today. People don't, they're walking in darkness, they're stumbling about, and they don't even know it. They don't know why they're sick. They don't know why they've got sorrow in their life. They don't know why they can't make, you know, one and one equal two. They don't know why things seem illogical all the time. They don't know why they have all these feelings, all these emotional roller coasters. They don't know why their life is so unstable. They don't know why their relationships don't work out. Because their body is full of darkness and they're just stumbling. They're just bouncing around. You ever been in a dark room and stub your toe? It hurts. It hurts. Been in a dark room and run into the wall or run, you know, you get in a situation where it's just total darkness. And I was thinking, the point that I really wanted to push on a little bit was here in Matthew 6, he said that, he told him, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't take any thought for your raiment, your meat. He said, because you can't add one cubit to your stature. And in the 28th verse, he said, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Now think about this a minute. Their sister, and I hope you'll grant me just a little bit of liberty in how I portray this, and I don't mean it in any way that would reflect negatively on Sister Inez, but there she is in her bed of sickness. But, and y'all see that. We see that anguish on her face. But when to hear Brother Talley tell about it, she was arrayed in beauty. To hear him talk about it, as he described it to me, I saw a woman in my mind that was being blessed or covered by the Spirit and love of God. Now consider the lilies. They toil not, they don't spin. He said, but even their beauty is greater than Solomon. Solomon in all his wisdom, Solomon in all the glory of the temple that he built, Solomon in everything he did, the lilies are still more beautiful. You sitting here tonight, in your circumstances, whatever it may be, and having the blessing of the Lord upon your life is so beautiful. you know, somebody said it's a beautiful mess. It feels that way sometimes. We feel like we're in a beautiful mess, you know, organized chaos, it seems like. And it is inexplainable, Brother Caleb, how that, you know, you can find a peace that passes all understanding, and people have, they have no understanding of why you are happy, Sister Tally, why you feel that joy in your, why you, there is a spring in your step, why you feel that desire to go on, why you, you know, that song, Sister Bryant, saying about how it, this way that the Lord, this, the words escape me, the last chorus that you sang, isn't it good to, he's never been more precious than he is right now. And it's inexplainable to people. They don't understand how we can feel, you know, such a joy and a happiness in this world of chaos. But I'm telling you, thank God, we are blessed tonight. Praise God. Even the lilies are, he said, even the lily, it toils not, it neither does it spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Praise God. I thought about that. I thought even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like Sister Inez, sitting there even in the bed of her sickness, laying there even in her condition that she's in. Even Solomon couldn't have matched the glory that she experienced on Sunday when all of God's people began to gather around. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, saints of God, we're blessed tonight. We have this beauty that God has provided for us. And it is, you know, there is truth and there is wisdom that we have. But I'm going to tell you, this banner of love that hovers about us, praise God. This joy that we find worshiping and living with the Lord in our lives is inexplainable. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord is with us tonight. He is on our side. We're on His side. We're working with Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be encouraged, dear saints. Be lifted up. Hallelujah. Know that the Lord is with us. Excuse me. Know that God is near. Know that God is mindful of your situation. Hallelujah. He's mindful of the lilies of the field. The Bible says here that He said, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? He was encouraging me. And we see that scripture, O ye of little faith. We see that. And you know, you could take that as a negative. You could say, you know, like He was casting some condemnation. But you could also frame it up another way. He might have been saying, look, I realize that your faith is limited. I realize that your faith is small. But be lifted up. Be lifted up, hallelujah. Be clothed like the grass of the field. God knows your needs tonight. There's not anything hidden from Him, as Brother Tally said when he talked to us tonight. There's not anything hidden from God. He knows everything about our lives. Praise God. Rest in Him. Rest in the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing it is to be in the body of Christ. Praise God. We have a work day here Saturday. We've got two weekends coming before the saints of God will come in. The young people will come in and bless this congregation. I know they're excited. I see all kinds of good reports and excitement that's being generated for this youth meeting. My wife was telling me the other night, we were out walking, and she said the Little Rock youth meeting has an effect on people, Brother Daniels. And she reminded me of something. She reminded me of this that happened to me a couple years ago. A young lady came up to me and she said, I remember, and I had forgotten. I had forgotten some words that I had spoken, but she didn't forget, Brother Zach. 20 years later, she came up to me. She said, I remember 20 years ago when you got up and talked, and what it was is I named off a couple radio stations. There's one that people listen to is WIIFM. What's in it for me? That's the radio station that they listen to. And then there's another station that people listen to, And that's WIIFO, and that's what's in it for others. And so that was my talk, and we weren't from here, but she remembered that talk, and she came up. My wife reminded me of this the other day. She said, the Little Rock Youth Meeting has such an effect on people. It changes lives, Brother Daniels. It changes people's lives. And she came up to me and she said, I remember 20 years ago when you gave that talk. That just blew me away. But Gladys was telling me about it. She said, we're in a good place, Nathan. Here in Little Rock, people are coming. They're counting on having their life changed in this youth meeting. Think about that. I mean, in just a few weeks, just a few short days from now, there's going to be young people fill this whole house with an expectation. Now, that makes us, that should humble us. It truly should. They're going to have an expectation to touch the throne of God and have their life changed forever, permanently. Praise God. What a wonderful thing this is. So we're going to have a work day here Saturday at 8:30. We'll meet up here, and then we have dinner day on Sunday. We have Bible study at 10. We have breakfast at 9:30. We've got a nice weekend ahead of us. So let's all be mindful of that, be praying for those that whose names have been called tonight. And then if there's not anything else to be said, let's all stand and just give the Lord thanks for this service. And go home, be encouraged, and come back this weekend ready to work and labor for the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Oh, God, what a wonderful thing this is, this beauty that you've brought us to, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for adding me to the body of Christ, putting this vision, this single vision in my life, Lord, that I could focus on you and lifting up your name. Loving your people, loving your truth and righteousness. Jesus, go with us, Lord. Keep us in your care. Touch those that are sick tonight. Reach down and touch them, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Be with them and comfort them, dear Lord. Watch over those that are traveling. Brother Smith, dear Lord. Oh, God, we love you. Jesus, be with us and keep us in your care. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good night, everybody. Praise God.